Dogs seem to know everything about their owners, from their schedules to their scents to exactly what annoys us, or is that just you? I don't know. So shouldn't humans know everything about their dogs? Well, Embark's dog DNA test allows you to do just that. Getting to know your dog's breed mix and genetic health risks with Embark means strengthening your bond with your furry friend. And Embark founded the world's first canine relative finder. I have actually found distant cousins of Geo's. Anyway, we'll get there. They even offer you the ability to connect directly with other Embark dog owners in their database. We'd like to thank EmbarkVet.com for supporting And That's Why We Drink. And you can go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 on the breed and health test with promo code DRINK. So Geo is quite a situation. All right, I got the Embark test done, and he is American Pit Bull Terrier. He is Shih Tzu. He's Australian Cattle Dog, Dachshund Chow Chow, German Shepherd, and Labrador Retriever. He is, as by the way, Embark put it, which made me so happy, he is a super mutt. Isn't that nice? I was thrilled because I had done a test on him ages ago, but it was like pretty simple and like kind of just not very, very in-depth. This Embark test was amazing. It told us that he was part Dachshund, which made a lot of sense because he's kind of like hot dog shaped. Get the dog DNA test that is trusted by millions. Right now, Embark has a limited time offer on their breed and health test for our listeners. Go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 with promo code DRINK. Visit EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DRINK to save $50 today. If you're anything like me, you are always trying to learn something new, and that is why I love Rosetta Stone so much. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop or can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. With its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Blaise has been learning German with Rosetta Stone and is so cool to watch because as someone who speaks German, I get to see how he learns the different pronunciations, how excited he gets when he gets something right, and the phrases that he's learning we're going to be able to use next time we visit Germany and Austria. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, And That's Why We Drink listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/drink. That's rosettastone.com/drink.
Yeah. Oh my, oh my, oh my.
Happy birthday to us. It's our birthday time. It's our birthday time. I wrote this song for you.
Wow. Oh my goodness. That's just great. I didn't even remember that this was going to be our birthday episode.
I did.
You.
Yay.
You silly goose, Christine.
Silly goose. Happy birthday.
Oh my goodness. Happy birthday to you. You're fucking old now.
I know, right?
How are you? You're not actually.
I'm 49.
49. Wow. That's almost 500. Are you 28 now?
I am.
That sounds so old.
Oh, shush. Everyone who's listening is like, please stop.
It sounds like
you sound like a little breath.
Yeah. No. Are you the crypt keeper now, Christine?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm very dusty.
Welcome to your promotion.
Thank you.
I'm dusty. I feel very old being 27. I'm like one of those people who takes every year very personally. And
I know you take every, yeah.
I just feel my whole, all of my joints have withered away.
I think it's not even really the number anymore. It's like my knees hurt and I'm like, oh.
For me, it's both. It's the, I mean, everything's got to be terrible for me because I'm dramatic. Right. But the number for me, I like think of all the things. Like when I was 5, what did I think a 27-year-old was up to? And this was not it.
When I was little, my mom had me at age 27. And I'm like, God damn.
My mom was like married for like 4 years already.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh boy.
Oh well, boy.
I'm in for a rude awakening apparently when I grow up.
Apparently.
Wow.
Although we don't really need to relive our mother's marriages.
No,
I guess.
I mean, she was married the first time of many. Love you. Okay, so.
Renato is on her second by now, I think. Okay, we don't need to talk about that. I'm sorry, Mom. I love you.
Our therapists are listening and they're like, yep, I already knew that
My
one.
Therapist is absolutely not listening. She's like, please don't make me hear her again. Anyway, it's our birthday week.
And we also haven't actually celebrated our birthday yet. Right now, I'm still 26. I can still say it.
That's right. I am still not the crypt keeper, but I'm on my way.
No, you've been promoted though. You're in training.
Pieces of my body are just falling off. I'm the apprentice, but yeah. Well, anyway.
Oh,
I'm excited.
We don't know what we're doing. I think Christine knows what we're doing for our birthday.
I do.
Christine texted me a while ago and said, are you free on this day? And so now I know that something's happening, but I don't know
Ooh,
what.
Ooh, it's happening.
I haven't figured out any event for us yet, though, on my end.
I'm trying to lay low.
Oh, my. You are. I'm pretty clueless. Usually, I think I've got you figured out by now.
No.
Yeah, I only have presents for you this time, so the experience is all yours.
I'm very excited. It'll be fun. And tomorrow I'm leaving town to go to Cincinnati to go see Fall Out Boy with Renee.
Oh, right. I knew you were going to Cincinnati. I didn't know why.
We're going to see Fall Out Boy.
So your birthday is just skyrocketing.
My birthday
already.
Week is rocking.
Wow.
I mean, I'm going out with a bang before I end up in a tomb or whatever.
You know what? It did just hit me that it's my birthday week. I should go like eat a steak or something tonight.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Wow. I went to the Dodgers game
Fuck
yesterday.
Fuck me being responsible
and
I'm saving
like,
money.
Oh my God. $17 beers? Hell yeah, it's birthday week.
I'm offended. Allison, if you're listening, my birthday week has been like the last 2 days and we haven't done anything yet.
I've yelled it at Blaze many times.
Oh, I'm going to text Allison right now.
Okay, good.
I'll text her live so everyone can hear her response.
Super.
Unless it's bad and then we're going to like edit it out and I'll say something else.
Oh, Em, I love you so much.
Right, we'll have Microsoft Sam throw it in.
We'll have Eva pretend to be Allison.
I'm going to say, I'm so mad at you.
Oh, God, don't do this, Em.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
What do I say?
I don't know. This is your weird plan.
Let's let them call in. You know those old TV shows where like you would pause for 5 seconds and you could like text in your like American Idol.
Oh yeah. Dial.
You could like text in your number. If you want this option, press 1 and text this
dial
number.
Dial 4 and 9 right now.
Why haven't we celebrated my birthday yet? That's what
She's
I'm gonna say.
Like, I'm anyway. Well, by the time I get back, it'll be, so I get back Sunday, which is the day this comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will have already seen Fall Out Boy. And then the next day is your birthday.
Yeah.
The day after
it's
going to
be
back.
Even better than Fall Out Boy, I promise.
And then the next, obviously. And then the day, I'm building up, you know.
Oh, right.
And
yeah,
then
yeah.
The day after is even better than your birthday, which is my birthday.
Right.
And then the day after is both of our birthday celebrations.
Yes, that's the one.
Oh, God, our poor friends and family hate us so much.
Well, look, we've been like, because
we've been calm as hell.
We've been so calm. You guys have been very lucky with the live shows coming out every episode because you haven't gotten to hear us
talking
about our birthday.
And we've been traveling, so we haven't been like in the zone.
Yeah, then we came back and we were like, oh, it's birthday week. Time to get fucking weird.
We're back.
So anyway.
And we're singing a
We
song.
Haven't talked about cake yet. Are we going to eat cake together?
Oh, yes. Obviously. Yes. What a dumb question.
One day you should pick your favorite cake and I'll pick my favorite cake and then we stack them and we'll have a double cake.
Correct.
Okay. But you're going to put fucking anchovies in your cake.
Yeah, I'm not anchovies.
Never mind. I don't want it.
Here's the thing.
What's up?
Remember, I got a little memory thing that was like 2 years ago. 2 years ago was our Irvine show on your birthday, but like coming up. Aww. Where I got that ice cream cake shaped like a haunted house,
which by the way I think is still one of my favorite cakes I've ever gotten.
I like
and
forgot
I'm
about
so
it.
Mad that we didn't get to eat more of it.
Oh yeah,
I was,
we were all the way in Irvine.
Well, we were in Irvine, and also I was
so nervous
I couldn't eat it, and I felt so bad because Christine, I guess you went to like a Ben and Jerry's or something and you got
like a Baskin Robbins or something. They had a haunted house cake and they were like, are you sure it's June? And I was like, yes,
it looked so good. Can we relive that and maybe get one of those again?
Yeah.
Wait,
yes,
it looked so,
there was like a boomerang of Eva. That was Eva's first day.
That was
basically
literally
for
Eva's
us.
First day,
our first like live show,
and she handed me a whole like meant for 20 people cake. And I was
like, walk in.
And I felt so bad because Eva didn't know me yet, so she didn't know my reputation of that, like, I could eat that whole
like
cake.
Like a psychopath? She
didn't know that either yet.
But she learned real quick.
I was like, Eva, I know I'm not eating any of this cake, but this is an off day for me. Usually this would be one serving.
Right. And they had a little chimney made of frosting.
And it had ghosts!
It had little ghosts on it.
Oh, it was so good.
That was really cute that they made that.
Actually, I need that one
I remember
again.
Being really worried because I made Eva drive on the way to Irvine, stop at a Baskin Robbins, and be like, demand the ghost cake, and if they won't make it.
And that
it,
was her first day. She's like, what the fuck did I get
she's
into?
She's like, I don't know why I'm doing this. But she's still here, thank God.
And there was a lot of fudge on it. A lot of
there
chocolate.
There was a lot of fudge. And then I did the song Finch. Oh my God.
Wait, you were so nice back then.
Last year. What happened?
I don't know.
Oh shit.
Wow.
All right. Well,
gotta up your game, man.
Listen, I'm excited. You don't know what's coming.
Oh, whoa. I already know whenever Christine plans something for me, I know I'm going to love it. I have no doubts.
Well, it's because you do it too. And then I'm like, well, I got to step up, I guess.
We definitely have that, like that connection.
It's a twin.
The Geminis,
Gemini,
if you will.
Twins.
All right. Anyway, is there any negative things going on in your life? Any reasons why you drink in a poor
There
way?
Probably are, but I'm trying to be positive.
Oh.
You know?
You just came out of therapy, didn't you?
I Something. Didn't. I went to my psychiatrist.
Oh.
Does that count?
Well, sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Feeling good about yourself?
We're feeling good. We're
Yay.
Tweaking my meds.
Yay!
We're good. We're happy. We're feeling good. What about you?
I think I'm okay. I mentioned in the last episode that my glasses are broken. I'm going today. I'm going.
You and your goddamn glasses.
They're hanging on a thread right now. I'm going after this.
Oh, you are?
To go get my new glasses.
Good. Ooh.
They're the same frames.
Are you going to send me 10 photos and be like, which ones are the best?
No, I'm such a, I hate change. So
I love change. That's where we differ.
I know you have like 5 different glasses and it scares me every time. I'm so out of my comfort zone when I get used to one and then you're like in your clear ones.
Un-Gemini of you. I'm just like, I'm so fucking fickle. I'm like, I change my mind every 10 minutes.
I probably have some weird problem in my upbringing where it's my only normal. It's my comfort zone.
Oh, mine was like, oh yeah, just keep doing what you're doing.
Just run. Yeah, no. So before I even broke my glasses, I knew when I got new glasses they'd be the exact same pair. So
oh, you're getting the same ones?
Yeah.
Oh well, that's
so boring. I hate change.
God, I love change. I wish you would change.
I me too. So
I'm hilarious. What else was I gonna say? Oh, is that all your announcements?
I guess so. Yeah, my face is broken, or my glasses are.
Oh, come on. Now you're really being dramatic. My face is broken.
Oh, I did see Aladdin. I texted you the second I came out of the theater.
I talked to Blaze and I said we have to see it.
It was so fucking good.
I didn't even plan on seeing it. And then when you said that, I was like, well, now I have to see it.
If this is good, I can't even imagine what Beyonce and Lion King is going to do to me.
I was going to say, well, that's going to be like,
it's going to be bone chilling.
Next level. We should go see it. Well, I don't know. I feel like you don't like seeing movies with certain
I usually don't people. Like seeing movies more than once.
No, that you. Are you kidding with me? Haven't you gone to see your movies like 42 times?
Well, so I usually don't like seeing movies more than once, but if it's a movie I'm really fucking invested in, I want to see it over and over to catch all the little nuances.
Oh.
So like Avengers, obviously. But usually if I see a movie in theater, I don't really see movies outside of Marvel movies in theaters.
Yeah.
But because it's Disney and like a classic and nostalgia and all that, I'd want to see it again. So if you want to go,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We can go see Aladdin if
Hell
you want.
Hell yeah. I didn't think Blaze was that thrilled about it, so I'll go with you.
Yeah.
Yay,
okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have one announcement before we get into the creepy stuff, and that is that on June 10th, we are announcing our last city of the year.
Yes.
Our last tour.
So
we
June
can't
10th,
tell you yet.
Check your Instagrams.
That's right. It's going to, it's on Instagram, ATWWD, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
You know what it is.
That one, ATWWD podcast.
And we have New Orleans, which I think is almost sold out.
Yep, and that's on the 6th. That's September 6th.
Yeah.
And then on September 19th, I think, we have both of our Salt Lake City shows that we're redoing because we had to cancel them because of weather problems.
Exactly. So those, I don't know if those have tickets left.
I don't know.
But then we're announcing one last show for the year.
You better get your plane tickets
ready.
And
I'm excited about it, so get ready.
It is going to be a really big one for us.
Somewhere where we haven't been yet.
We're very, very, very excited, so please come.
Anyway, so that's happening. That's all I have.
Okay.
Okay.
So is that just time for us to talk about our stories now?
I think so. I love talking about myself, but I think I guess we have to talk about other people now.
Isn't it funny? We got a podcast thinking we'd talk more about ourselves, but it has to be focused on something else sometimes.
That's true. Although we do definitely use it as a ruse to mostly talk about ourselves.
It is. We do veil us talking about ourselves in ghost stories. Yes.
Yes.
So you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. In fact, I actually shout this at any friends I have who are engaged because it saved my life when I was planning my wedding. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can design save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. I tell my friends Zola is a one-stop shop, right? This is the key to planning a wedding. I didn't even have a wedding planner. I used Zola and they were so, so helpful on every front. Everything from save the dates to a wedding website to online RSVPs to finding vendors. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake, Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. You've probably heard about Burrow. It's a new kind of furniture company known for timeless design, durable materials, and details that make life in your space easier. Last year, they brought their expertise outside with the launch of their outdoor line, and now they're adding more must-have pieces to the collection. Dunes offers seating, dining, and lounger options, while Scout is a new folding chair upholstered in a chic woven fabric. Made of durable materials made for all seasons. Weather-resistant teak, stainless alloy, quick-dry, stain-resistant cushions. Love that. With easy assembly and disassembly. They also just launched a new standing desk co-pilot with adjustable height, a durable scratch-resistant body with built-in storage to make working at home easier than ever. And of course, there's Burrow's legacy seating collections like the Nomad and Range, now available in new colors. So no matter what you choose, you always get free shipping on every order, which can run up to $100 for larger items. And that is a win. You know, Emma and I love our Burrow, and now that they have outdoor furniture, I'm very excited to get my lounge on. We have this balcony, and I am always looking for something to make it comfy but also look chic, you know, because it's outside, everyone can see it, and I want to look stylish while I'm bird watching. I love Burrow. It's easy to assemble. It ships free. I can't recommend them highly enough. And that's why We Drink listeners can get 15% off their first order at burrow.com/drink. That's Burrow, burrow.com/drink for 15% off. burrow.com/drink.
Sorry. I just got a bunch of texts and I looked down and everyone's like, how horrible, how horrifying.
Uh-oh.
Apparently my sister's German teacher was arrested on child pornography charges.
Oh, no.
My mom just sent me the news article and is like, oh, God. Francisca says, that's my German teacher, and sent an article in Cincinnati Inquirer.
That's awful.
Oh, no.
And was teaching your sister?
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Holy crap. Arrested by the airport police.
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
That's a twist.
That is a twist. Okay, well, I gotta keep an eye on that thing. Holy crap. Anyway, sorry. I thought that might be a little true crime
well, yeah.
Update.
I mean, it was very true crimey. That was the most personal... Speaking of talking about yourself.
Yeah. Right, we're back to me again.
That was the most live-action true crime we've ever covered.
What can I say?
I also... Allison, by the way, has not gotten back to me. I said, I need seven... constant days of unadulterated joy for my birthday. So,
oh, she blocked your number
probably. Woo, bananas. Okay,
anyway, let's switch from child pornography charges to
ghosts. Sorry, I didn't mean for there to be this weird pregnant pause. My whole face just got itchy all of a sudden.
It's broken, remember?
It's broken. I know, it's just healing. Oh, also, I do have a reason why I drink.
Oh, for God's sakes, we're back to us again
talking about me. It's my birthday and I can do
we
what
can
I want
do what we want.
So
Since you've been gone.
I can't breathe for the first time.
Behind these hazel eyes.
That is the go-to for you always. Since I have been away from my apartment, we've been traveling a lot. And Allison is throwing me a superhero sleepover birthday party this weekend, which I'm very excited about.
Woohoo! I'm missing it because I'm seeing Fall Out Boy. This is the most Christine and M weekend ever,
I know.
Actually.
I'm having a Captain America weekend.
I'm having a slumber party with Renee watching Fall Out Boy.
I do want to give a shout out to all of my friends who are also in their now late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single one of them even questioned when I said, hey, I want to have a sleepover like we were little kids and I want it to be superhero themed.
To be fair, we all know you pretty well.
Every single person was like, fuck yeah. So I'm very excited about that.
It'll be fun. I'm sad I'm missing it.
And to make sure that the whole place looked clean, since I've been gone for so long and haven't really gotten to do a full scrubbing of the apartment in a while, and we have a party coming up this weekend, I did a full blown like 8 hours
deep clean,
like got behind things.
Yeah.
And so I cleaned so intensely that 3 days later, my body still hurts.
Oh, yeah.
Like I did a lot of
workout.
Squatting and a lot of bending.
God.
It was the most exercise my body has experienced in a while. And it was like, what is going on? So my whole
Stop
body
hurting me.
And my body does feel broken a little bit. So
I'm so sorry about that, Em.
Sitting down to get in the car to come here was quite a task.
Oh,
so
I know why
you're
I
welcome.
Drink. Because I fucking just booked my colonoscopy for
oh,
a couple
you
weeks
win.
From now.
You
well,
win.
I just remembered, I'm like, body things. Oh, yeah. Well, I have to do that. And for 3 days, I can't eat certain foods. And then I have to, for 24 hours, only drink fucking, like, clear Jello.
Is it near your birthday?
It's the 21st of June. So.
That's your birth month. This sucks even
it's
more.
It's my month.
You can't take that from me.
Except okay. They did.
Anyway, here is my story, my paranormal story. I'm very excited about this one because just like how you very in lifetime caught a true crime
yeah.
story, I'm doing a relatively live paranormal story.
What does that mean?
Which I've never done before, and it doesn't have, like, a title. Usually I'm like, this is the story of blank, but mm-hmm. I don't have a title, because these are recent reports that came out only 3 days ago.
Oh, okay.
So we are calling this the story of recent UFO reports filed by Navy pilots.
Holy shit, are you serious? I don't know anything about this. Yes.
Okay, so
let's go.
Good luck trying to figure out how to label this in your brain. I don't know how what the title would be.
Good luck, Eva.
UFO Navy pilot reports, I guess. So this story was covered 3 days ago. It was like relatively breaking news. If you're a paranormal person, I feel like maybe it was. And the story was covered by like New York Times, Rolling Stone, CNN, CBS News. Cause there's so many more important things probably going on in the world.
I get tagged in.
I'm saying if you're in the paranormal world, it might have been breaking news. You'll understand why in a second.
Okay.
So, basically between 2014 and 2015, there were several series of UFO sightings by Navy pilots that were in Virginia on the way to Florida.
Okay.
And because I don't want to get sued, and like people like the New York Times and shit have covered this, so I feel like at least my like Alexa is listening to this. I just want to say,
you just set off everyone's goddamn,
sorry, everyone's echo.
That doesn't help.
Stop. I'm going to stop. Don't sue me. So I'm going to give a little disclaimer here that UFO means unidentified flying object, not aliens.
Right, so sure.
There are UFO reportings, but that does not actually confirm whether or not they're extraterrestrials.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Just want to say that before people think that I'm saying anything beyond what I really want to say, which is, oh my god, aliens. Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So that's my opinion, but I'm going to tell you the real facts, and you can just follow along with my brain or facts, whatever you want.
Listen, we know we're all going to fall into your own brain. Don't worry.
Guys, listen to this alien story. So in 2014, between 2014 and 2015, the main characters in this story are Lieutenant Ryan Graves and Lieutenant Danny Acoin. Lieutenant Dan! sorry. Nope. Forrest Gump. Okay.
Is that what that was? I was like, I'm going to say Forrest Gump, but then I'm going to be wrong and it's going to be really embarrassing.
You got new legs, Lieutenant Dan?
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Good one.
So,
sorry, I did not react appropriately. Well, I just stared at you.
I just saw blank eyes and I was like, am I an asshole? Okay.
I'm not from this country.
Lieutenant Dan is the main character with Lieutenant Ryan Graves. They were both Super Hornet pilots, which I'm not in the military and I don't know about airplanes, so I don't know what that means.
It sounds pretty cool, though. It
sounds nice and masculine. Super Hornet. Okay.
Sounds superhero-y.
Right. And they were part of the VFA-11 Red Rippers Squadron.
So Jesus, okay.
I guess they were known as the Red Rippers, which was apparently based in Virginia. So those two and three other pilots in the same squadron all spoke to the New York Times recently about the objects that they saw, but have declined to, the other three have declined to be named. So
there's five of them total.
There's five of them, but only two of them have come out and said Lieutenant Ryan and Lieutenant Danny.
Got it.
Well, they've said Lieutenant Graves, whatever. I'm an asshole. So Ryan and Danny. So the pilots had apparently radar systems from the 80s. And so all their equipment was really, really old. They ended up getting it updated, and once the new radar systems were put in, they began noticing objects that the old radar system could not pick up. So the squadron was training for a deployment to the Persian Gulf, so they were doing training maneuvers by flying from Virginia to Florida back and forth.
Got it.
And there's a quote. People have seen strange stuff in the military aircraft for decades. We were doing this very complex mission where we were going 30,000 feet up and then diving down. It would have been a pretty big deal to have seen something up there. So ideally there's no other aircraft that's going 30,000 sure. feet in the air in that area, at least because sure. it's a blocked off training space.
Yeah.
So while they were 30,000 feet up, they saw multiple UFOs.
Okay.
Which just
unidentified.
Means unidentified other things flying in the air that they were not aware of. These UFOs would also change altitude with the pilots. So they were going from 30,000 feet to 20,000 feet to sea level, just like they were.
Okay.
So it was almost like it was following them.
I don't love that.
The pilots reported that the objects had no visible engine or exhaust, yet had impossible power. Power that was apparently stronger than their aircraft.
Okay.
The UFOs were able to accelerate, stop midair, and reach hypersonic speeds.
Hypersonic. Oh my, that's
there was a roller coaster growing up in King's Dominion called the Hypersonic SLC. I don't remember what SLC stands for.
Salt Lake City.
Sure. But I remember my dad let me play hooky from school, and we went to King's Dominion, and we were the first people to ever ride the Hypersonic.
Seriously?
Yep.
Cool.
It's defunct now, so.
Well.
But I have the memory.
That's because we're old crypt keepers now.
Right, exactly. I'm on my way. Next year, I'll be the new apprentice.
Welcome.
So, Lieutenant Graves, he said about these UFOs, these things would be out there all day. Keeping an aircraft in the air requires a significant amount of energy, but with the speeds we observed, 12 hours in the air is 11 hours longer than we would expect.
Holy crap.
So with the amount of power that these things were giving off, they should have only been able to be in the air for an hour at a time, and they were staying out there all day.
What the hell? 12 hours.
So, long work day.
I'm like, that's Blaze's shift at the ER. No, thank you.
Aliens must be sleepy. So...
Oh, shit. I almost just dumped my coffee everywhere.
Oh. So one of the pilots, Lieutenant Dan, he had two different encounters with the UFOs himself. The first time he wanted to follow it, so he set his plane to merge with it, and he flew 1,000 feet below it the entire time.
Okay.
But his helmet camera didn't actually pick up anything. So even though his radar system, so the radar system on the screen, it shows you exactly what it's looking at.
Right.
But his helmet camera wasn't picking it up. So it was almost kind of like... I imagine how dogs can see something, but we can't.
Oh.
The radar system was picking up on something that his eyes and the camera couldn't see.
Oh, creepy.
So that's the only way that they knew these things.
So it's like invisible, essentially, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So his helmet camera wasn't picking it up. The second time that he encountered it, there was, this is a quote, the training missile on his jet locked onto the object. So his equipment just immediately synced up with it.
Okay.
And his infrared camera saw it. So this time it was seen by something else. Lieutenant Dan said, I knew I had it. I knew it was not a false hit, but I could not pick it up visually. So both times the radar saw it, even though his eyes couldn't. But there are other UFOs that had similar, characteristics that people were also able to see. So basically, last March, this is 3 years after the fact, because remember our story's in like 2014, 2015.
Right.
So last March, there was another report of a UFO 30,000 feet in the sky that had similar reports to the 2014 report. So people are kind of comparing them.
I see.
However, this one, everyone could see with their own eyes. So
the most recent one.
The most recent one that happened last March.
Got it.
So there were two pilots. There was a pilot from Phoenix Air and a pilot from American Airlines. And both of them reported seeing the object while they were in the middle of their flights.
No.
They reported that the UFO was flying, spinning in the opposite direction of them.
What?
Flying past them. So basically, as the plane was going one direction, they crossed paths.
It's funny to me because I'm just picturing it like, whoa, like spinning.
Like almost like the aliens, like kind of like...
It got like bumped into something. Right.
Like their bumper card.
Bumper cars. Yeah, like spinning. Anyway,
so they reported that the UFO was flying and spinning in the opposite direction of them. And the FAA actually released the radio broadcasts recorded of the pilots when they saw the UFO go by.
Oh, that's creepy.
So this Holy was on, shit. I guess, February 24th it happened, but it was released in March.
Holy shit.
And the FAA released broadcasts of the pilots talking to the Albuquerque Center Air Traffic Control and the Phoenix Air pilot. This was at 3:30 in the afternoon.
So they like actually made the call. It's not like someone's making this up.
No, this is like
official. They actually called
like him. Really radioed in.
Okay.
So the pilot from Phoenix Air, and I listened to it. You can find it on, there's a news report that played it.
And we don't put it in here because we're going to probably get sued.
So. Yeah, I don't want to get sued, but you can Google it.
Yes.
The pilot from Phoenix Air, 3:30 that afternoon, down to traffic control. He said, was anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago looked like a UFO? And then the FAA reported back saying negative.
So he saw something in the sky.
Definitely saw something. Then because he had said that something passed him like 30 seconds ago, the FAA told other nearby flights to keep an eye out for anything in the sky. And
not alarming.
Right.
Just by the way, while you're flying a giant airplane, make sure to keep an eye out.
Try to dodge that.
For things flying at you, spinning in the opposite direction.
So then not even 60 seconds later.
No.
American Airlines flight 1095 reported back to air traffic control saying, yeah, something just passed over us. I don't know what it was, but it was at least 2,000 or 3,000 feet above us.
Whoa.
The American Airlines pilot said they couldn't tell if it was flying or hovering, but that it had a big reflection.
Whoa.
It could have been a UFO. So also this UFO that they saw happened to only be a couple hundred miles away from Roswell.
What? I didn't even think about that because he said Albuquerque. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Also, can you imagine? You know, the odds are with all that we've been flying, we were probably on that plane. And
probably.
I mean, the odds are just... The stacks don't lie.
Towards us, I think. I think so.
Anyway. Can you imagine, though, if you are back on the plane, like, watching, like, a Bohemian Rhapsody and you don't know that there's, like, a fucking UFO.
And then there's, like, fucking aliens playing bumper cars and next to you out the window.
The pilot is just like, by the way, what's this giant object above us? I just can't even imagine.
I just wanted more snacks. I was too focused on that and not looking out the window to see, like, aliens waving at us.
You and I and Eva are all in the aisle because we have to either pee or stretch our legs or...
It's true. Fun fact, we never sit next to each other. We're always in different aisles, all in the aisle seat.
We sat next to each other the first flight ever, and then we're like, nope, never again.
We're like, why did we do this? Also, we all cried.
We all cried on that flight.
We were all watching different movies that made us sad. I was watching Infinity War. You were watching an actual sad movie.
I was watching Love, Simon, I think.
Yeah.
And anyway, Eva was just like crying because she was like, why am I trapped on this airplane?
She was like, I'm brand new. Please don't let me be here anymore.
I just want to go pee and you guys are crying in my way.
Aliens, come get me. Maybe that's what the aliens were doing. They were trying to save Eva. Okay.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Anyway, so that happened in 2018. So I only bring that up because there are some similarities in that they thought it was a UFO. It was able to reach the same altitude. It was spinning, which I'll tell you later. The ones in 2014 were also on record spinning. So they were playing bumper cars back then.
Oh, fun. Classic.
But so I bring that up just to say, like, oh, apparently there are also more reports coming in. So there you go.
Got it.
So the FAA still doesn't know what that object was. The one that just happened in March. And the only comment they had was, we don't have any comment beyond what you hear.
Woof. Oh, God. It's creepy, creepy.
So, okay.
Okay. FAA. Okay.
So back to 2014. At this point, so Lieutenant Dan in 2014, he saw, or his radar kept tracking this thing multiple times. His equipment kept finding this thing and tracing it. So at this point, since they can't see it, maybe it's super small and they're not aware of it. At this point, the entire squadron is just assuming that these must be part of some classified advanced drone program that they don't know about.
Which is, like, also scary to me.
Also terrifying.
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, God.
But they just assume, like, oh, it must be something that we're not a part of, but it's a drone program.
Sure.
But then at the same time, it's like, how are drones going at hypersonic speeds and all this stuff?
Maybe they just have technology that we don't know about.
I mean, they definitely
do. Right?
Hashtag time travel.
Hashtag Project Pegasus.
Mm-hmm. So, regardless of what it was, they still reported the sightings to Congress and the Pentagon.
Like, hey, Congress, have a minute?
In case you didn't know.
Congress, you up?
You up? Eggplant emoji? Pentagon?
Squirt emoji?
Pentagon, P stands for peach. So, let's see. So they reported them to the Congress and Pentagon. To the Congress. Who am I? My fucking dad?
We're 1,000 now.
So months later, after they reported those sightings, one of Lieutenant Graves' squadron mates said that he almost had a head-on collision with, quote, one of those things. So even if after they reported it, they never got any information about it, and they were still seeing it on pretty much a daily basis.
So when they almost had the collision, could he see it, or was it, like, just on the...
I think at this point he was starting to see them.
Oh, okay.
The guy that almost had a head-on collision, him and his wingman were flying 100 feet apart, when a UFO flew between them, and they could see it.
Fine.
So they could see this UFO, and apparently it looked like a, quote, sphere encasing a cube.
Sphere and
so think
this
of
too many. Look, we have the shape poster.
Oh, okay. There's a cube equals square, I think.
Cube encase. Wait, no.
So a sphere equals circle.
Is the sphere around this cube?
Like an oval? I don't know.
Yeah, like a ball.
Sure. Imagine a square and a ball.
And the square's inside it.
Yeah.
Okay. A square and a ball.
Yep. Like an egg, but the yolk is a square.
Oh, that's fun.
Yep. Okay.
Everyone listening is like, fuck you guys.
We'll just use food. We'll figure it out.
The food works. Okay. Yeah. So interesting. So it's like...
And it apparently just flew right through both of their... Like, through between both their planes.
So it's almost like a square, but then, like, the sphere is like a bubble, like, protecting it.
Yes. Okay. Exactly. Got it, square and bubble wrap.
Got it.
But in a circle shape. Yes. Okay. Like Glinda, the good.
Yeah.
But instead of Glinda, it's a cube.
A cube. It's a cube. It's a futuristic Glinda.
Glinda the cube. Okay. So after this, so then they almost had a head-on collision with it. And this whole time they've been thinking, okay, maybe it's just a drone program we don't know about. Mm-hmm. Then this collision happened. And at this point, the squadron was like, this is not a classified drone program. And they filed another report. They decided it must be... It couldn't be a drone program, one, because it didn't look like a fucking drone. It looked like Glinda the Cube.
Glinda the good cube.
It also couldn't be a drone program because the government wouldn't let other aircraft fly in a training area and risk the potential collisions.
Okay. Right. So, yeah, right. That wouldn't be safe in any sort of capacity. Got it.
They were like, whatever this is, it's not our government involved.
Not our government.
Not our government. Not all governments, guys. The pilots to this day will not outwardly say if it was extraterrestrial, but when asked, oh my,
I'm
are
so
you
sorry.
Good?
No. My lumbar
was, oh God almighty.
I'm a thousand. I'm so sorry. I'm
Two
back.
Years to 30 and 5 minutes away from death, apparently.
I'm falling apart.
I'm sure there's some song called that you'll hear at Fall Out Boy this weekend. I'm falling apart.
I'm 5 years to 30.
I'm Fall Out Boy. Okay.
I'm falling out. No. Okay.
So the pilots at this point.
Did you guys miss us while we were traveling?
They're like, God, give us the live show where you have to act professional again.
Where you don't sing every 10 minutes.
Behind these hazel eyes.
Oh, God, I forgot we did that.
So the pilots will not outwardly say if what they saw was extraterrestrial. But, a.k.a. don't sue me. But when asked what they think it is, Lieutenant Graves has said, quote, we have helicopters that can hover and we have aircraft that can fly at 30,000 feet and right at the surface. Mm-hmm. But it's like combining, quote, all that in one vehicle of some type with no jet engine or exhaust plume.
Creepy.
So it's just something that they haven't seen before. Yeah.
And it has the energy to be up there for 12 hours.
For 12 times the amount it should. Yeah.
Also, they're probably not allowed to say, like, I think it's an alien if they're, like, still employed by...
Right.
You'd think so, right? They'd probably be like, you can't say that.
You can't, like, leak the secrets that everyone knows.
Not our government.
Not all governments.
Not all government.
Even the Department of Defense will not speculate on what the literally daily UFOs could have been. The fact that they were so, like, they knew people could see them, or if they didn't know, they were still around all the time. They were consistently happening for at least a year. So the Department of Defense did not speculate on if it was extraterrestrial, but...
They probably know.
They absolutely know. Mm. Although they didn't speculate on what the UFOs could be, coincidentally, after the incidents, the Navy sent out, quote, new classified guidance on unexplained aerial phenomena and how to report it.
No, that is spooky. Mm-mm-mm-mm.
So, creepy. And also they're not calling it UFOs, they're calling it unexplained aerial phenomenon, UAP.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I think people are using that now to be less, like, because UFO has such, like, a connotation to it.
It's just a stigma of aliens.
Stigma. Yeah.
So, yeah, start calling them UAPs. So the biggest evidence from these incidents, like, everything that I just said, the closest thing we have to, like, being able to figure it out for ourselves as the public, the thing that just came out in the New York Times is that two of the videos that they caught on their helmet cameras or on their radar systems have been declassified.
Oh.
So two of the videos have now come out, and that's why all these people are now getting interviewed a couple years later. I have watched both videos. They are kind of cool. There are two videos from 2015. One of them is in Jacksonville. One of them, I don't remember the location, but they're of the pilots mid-flight, catching UFOs on their radar and being surprised by what they're seeing. And it's so funny to me because I'm used to, when I think of like a military person in a fighter jet or whatever, I just think of like the most stern, serious person.
Yeah.
And these guys are just broing
like
out.
Goofing
like they're
around.
Freaking out that they're seeing a UFO.
Oh, that's so funny.
And so it just took away, like it totally like ripped the veil off of how I imagine like a military, like, sir, yes, sir.
Yeah,
but these guys are like, bro, what the fuck is that? So
get Snapchat open.
So I'm going to talk about, I don't know why I did this, but I talk about the second video I saw first. I don't know. Okay.
Fun.
One of the videos I saw, I think this is like in order, if you were to open up New York Times and look at the video, it would be the second video that shows up on the feed that I talk about first. I don't know why I did this. okay. I just like, it's like I can't figure out floors of a house. So.
Oh, right. We do things out of order. It's fine.
So the second video, it shows UFOs, quote, accelerate. And this is, I mean, I'm describing what happens in the video, but I'm also quoting the New York Times description of it. So I just, I'm quoting.
Describing the New York Times, describing the video.
Yes. Because okay. They did it so well.
Right.
They did?
They did.
What Can you shocker. Believe it? The New York Times knows what they're doing.
Real journalists?
Yeah, right. So the UFOs are, quote, accelerating to hypersonic speed, making sudden stops and instantaneous turns, something beyond the physical limits of a human crew.
Oh.
So whatever it is, there's no human involved inside of it. There can't be. Apparently.
The way it's moving.
The way that it's moving, even Lieutenant Graves himself has said, like, it would probably kill a human.
Really?
With the G-forces that are going through. So, that's the next thing I say. These movements would cause G-forces that are nearly impossible for a human pilot to handle.
Oh, my God.
In the other video, a UFO is tilting on its side, spinning.
Whoa! Like a die. Like
a top, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw it. It doesn't really look like it's spinning. I think they assume it's spinning. I'll show you the video. Okay. It does look like a top, so maybe they just meant like a spinning top.
Oh, it does. Okay.
But it is tilting, and it is UFO craft, like the UFO we all imagine. It's like it looks like that. Okay. So if it's tilting, it kind of does look like a spinning top.
Oh, I see. Wait, so you can see this thing?
Yeah. So
oh my God.
You can see it on the radar. So you can't see.
Oh, I see.
You're not seeing like all these like fancy lights or anything that you want to see. You just see like a blip on a radar, but it is like UFO craft shaped.
Oh, so it has a shape of it.
And the whole time you spooky. Can hear them talking, like, about what they're seeing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So you can see the UFO tilting on its side, and it's moving against the wind, and then you can see it rotate on its other side. So it goes from leaning one way to then leaning Yikes. The other way,
okay.
Which they're freaking out about, too, when they see it on the radar.
Yikes.
So keep in mind, these two videos only show two reports, but like the pilot said earlier, this was daily for years. Either years from 2014 to 2015. So either like a full 2 years or like daily?
A daily occurrence.
It was a regular, if not daily occurrence.
Holy shit.
I mean, the quote that I said earlier was, Lieutenant Graves did say, I said earlier, Lieutenant Graves was quoted saying, these things would be out here all day. So I mean, like, I guess maybe not daily, but regularly enough that they knew that it was going to be out there
like
forever.
A one-time thing, essentially.
I mean, they knew of them well, apparently, and only two reports of many sightings were paid attention to in this New York Times.
Creepy.
So, let me see, where was I? So, here's another quote. There were a number of different reports. Some cases could have been commercial drones, but in other cases, we do not know who's doing this. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough data to track this, so the intent of the message to the fleet is to provide updated guidance on reporting procedures for suspected intrusions into our airspace.
Oh my God.
So, I'll show you the videos afterwards, but I'm just gonna, like, kind of, for people who are in the car and can't see the video yet, I'm going to do my own version of a narration of this. So
super.
I'm just gonna read to you guys, I wrote out the audio from the video so you can hear what they're saying.
Okay.
So in video one, there's the UFO that looks kind of like it's a spinning top. It's on its tilt and it's flying over the oceans. They're flying super fast.
Like, ew. You can, okay, that creeps me
like,
out.
Like, creepy
fast. I thought
they
were just standing still.
No, they're flying super fast. And you can see, they kind of look like orbs. Like, they're white and they're moving super quickly.
Ugh.
But you can see, like, several of them fly by before they, like, actually kind of catch one on their radar.
Oh, God.
And so the narration is these, I guess, two pilots talking to each other through the planes. And one guy goes, dude, this is a fucking drone, bro. And then someone went, no, there's a whole fleet of them. And then, my gosh, they're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 miles to the west. Then look at that thing, dude. And then,
is this Zach Baggins' new spinoff series?
Zach Baggins, the fighter pilot.
God help us all.
Then they say, that's not a blank, is it? I don't know. It was a type of aircraft, I think. Like, oh, that's not a blank, is it?
A plane? Is that what they said?
Some type of plane. It was, I know, I'm just kidding. You can kind of hear it in the audio, but I couldn't translate it because I'm stupid. But I think they were trying to figure out, like, oh, maybe it's this kind of plane.
Right, right, right.
And they were like, no, it's not. Look at that thing. It's rotating.
That is horrifying.
So that's the first video.
Okay.
The second video, the UFO is, again, flying at a crazy speed. And then the radar actually, like, when I say the radar catches it, basically, like, there's, like, a little box. And they're able to, like, kind of trap it in a box on their radar so they can follow it and keep seeing it.
Right.
So it doesn't like get away from them. So on the radar, like the system like kind of traps it in a little digital box.
Yeah,
so they can follow it. And it's really funny because I guess that's a manual thing. I guess the pilot was trying to catch it.
Yeah.
And so you can hear the guy go, whoa, got it.
And then it's like a video game.
And then you can hear like a bunch of laughter. Like he's stoked he caught it.
It's like Angry Birds.
Yeah. And then and the next voice goes, what the fuck is that? And then the pilot in the other plane goes, did you box a moving target? And he said, I took an auto track. Okay. And then
the
pilot said, oh my gosh, dude, what the fuck is that? Look at it fly.
I'm spooked by this.
So Leon Golub, he's a senior astrophysicist at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics.
Me too.
Yikes. Right. That's my part-time job. He said...
That's what I was doing, but I quit to do this podcast.
Right. So. Exactly. Exactly.
You're welcome, world.
Leon says, there are so many other possibilities to what this could be. They could be bugs in the code for the imaging and display systems, atmospheric effects and reflections, neurological overload from multiple inputs during high-speed flight. Basically, he's giving a bunch of reasons why this could not be an alien, but if you're listening to the show, it was an alien.
Leon, come on.
So Lieutenant Graves, Lieutenant Acoin, or Lieutenant Dan, and former intelligence officials have all now appeared in a 6-part History Channel series called
Ooh.
Unidentified Inside America's UFO Investigation. And Ooh. This actually comes out Friday.
Oh, really?
But when you guys hear this, it will have already come out, I think.
2 days ago.
2 days ago. So, okay. So yeah, so they're all going to be part of a segment for that.
Wow.
And what's interesting about this is that it's in the news right now after being reported a few years ago.
Yeah.
So reports of these encounters were also filed with a program through the Pentagon called the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program.
Whoa.
So the AATIP.
Yeah.
They analyze all UFO data from radar, camera footage, and testimonials, and they focus they only work with UFO sightings by U.S. military.
Okay.
So the fact that there is a whole department of just military specific UFO sightings that are classified and people can't find out about is super creepy to me. And they've handled apparently decades of reports, or they've at least looked at a bunch of reports that have come in. The program only began in 2007 but was announced in 2012 to be shut down after only 5 years.
Whoa.
And is said to no longer be active. However, it has been said that it currently still investigates UFO reports and has, quote, continued on in other classified forms.
So it's technically
it's, quote, defunct.
Uh-huh. Wink, wink.
I mean, if it shut down, it's very interesting that... And if it shut down in 2012, I find it interesting that in 2014, 2015, people were reporting their UFO sightings to it.
Mm-hmm.
You
yes,
know?
I agree.
So I haven't decided yet, but I actually... So that's the end of the story, and I haven't decided for next week yet, but I think this might be a continuation story, because if I can find enough information about the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, I want that to be next week's episode.
Ooh.
And see like if I can get any cool conspiracy stories out of that. So maybe I'll segue into that next week. But it could be a mini two-parter-ish kind of thing. But that's the conspiracy / UFO story I have for this week, and next week maybe I'll continue.
Holy maybe watch you're gonna
maybe
be like,
you'll see
nope,
who knows.
Never mind.
Anyway. There you go.
Alien stuff freaks me out, as you know.
I'm kind of bummed. Like, I was excited that this is probably the only time I'll ever get to cover a story that's
like a breaking
supernatural, but also breaking
current,
news.
Right.
So I didn't want to not talk about it, but at the same time, I wanted like an alien to be involved, you know?
Oh. It sounds like there are aliens involved, many. Right?
Yeah, I think it sounds like there was a whole fleet of them.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you're listening to me, it's an alien. But if you're listening to anyone else, including the Department of Defense, it could be
a drone.
Well,
if they're being interviewed on the History Channel, they're going to talk about aliens. I mean...
Right.
They're not going to debunk it on the History Channel. Despite its name, I think we all know what's going to happen.
Right.
Okay, well, I guess we'll segue into my story.
Yay!
We all want our cats to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes us happy too. But because we're not mind readers, we don't always know when they're unwell. And cats can be kind of standoffish about sharing their emotions and feelings. So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter. Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly, so there is no more cat bathroom smell. Hooray! Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust. Plus, the crystals last up to a month, which means less scooping and fewer trips to the garbage can. Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It changes colors to help monitor early signs of potential illness in our cats, including urinary tract infection and kidney issues. And Pretty Litter ships free right to our door in a small, lightweight bag. This is ingenious, folks. Pretty Litter has been a part of our lives for many, many years. I just think it's the coolest product. It gives you the peace of mind knowing that you can sense something is wrong depending on the color of the litter. And it's so much easier than going to the store and lugging all that dusty litter home. You know how that goes. And the smell. There's no smell. It's amazing. Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on my cat's health and keeps odors down. You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do. Go to prettylitter.com/ATWWD and use code ATWWD to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/ATWWD, code ATWWD to save 20%. prettylitter.com/ATWWD, code ATWWD. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. It's like when you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/drink. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
And this one is one that I'm very excited about. I originally heard about it on My Favorite Murder last year.
Ooh.
Yeah, MFM. You see that what I got there? I pre-ordered their book.
Oh, really? Yeah. Stay Sexy, Don't Get Murdered.
Their book just came out, so I pre-ordered that. I'm going to read that this weekend on my trip.
For a second, I thought you meant you were going to read it, like, right now to us.
What if I did that?
Wow, was that your story for this week?
Talk about getting sued. They're like, please don't do that. We have a literal audiobook. Nobody needs to hear this
right,
from you.
Right, exactly.
So I heard that originally there, and it was one of my favorite episodes of theirs, that they'd ever did. And then I recently was listening to Case File, and I just picked a random episode. It was episode 93, and they covered this again, like,
oh wow,
in super detail. And I was like, holy crap. And then I found an episode of Forensic Files on it, and I was like,
well, okay, so that's a sign.
The trifecta.
The triad, if you will.
The trinity, if you will.
Karen, Georgia, and Forensic Files.
Yes. And Case File.
And Case File. the quadrant. I don't know.
We'll work on it. Quadrinity.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at my basic shapes poster.
The quiad.
Sure.
Okay.
Trapezoid. It's a rhombus. It's fine. Okay. A slanty guy. A slanty boy. So this is the story of Susan Snow. Dun, dun, dun.
All right.
So Wednesday morning, June 11th. Oh, it's a June story.
Gemini.
Wednesday morning, June 11th, 1986, in Auburn, Washington, which is a suburb of Seattle. 40-year-old Susan Snow. She works as a vice president at a local bank. She wakes up with a headache, and she tends to get frequent headaches, so this was not, like, abnormal that she woke up with a headache.
Okay.
She wakes up with a headache. She takes 2 Excedrin, which was her favorite form of painkiller.
Same, by the way.
Same?
Oh, yeah.
Blazes, too.
Love a good Excedrin.
Remember when you tried to take an Excedrin, but it was, like, vinegary?
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's a PSA to everyone taking any headache. I don't know how far it ranges, but if you have any medicine that happens to taste a little vinegary, apparently that means it expired. You're fine and you're not going to die.
Blaze said it's fine. And also Blaze said, M, please do not make yourself throw it up like you suggested.
So when we were on tour, I got a really bad headache and I was like, oh, I'm going to take 2 Excedrin. And I had some in like my toiletry kit and I took them and I was like, oh, that tasted fucking nasty. What on earth was that? So I looked up like Excedrin gross taste. And then someone else determined for me that it was a vinegar taste, which after I read it, I was like, oh yeah, that is what it is. So apparently it's a breakdown of a certain type of acid. And then I looked up what that acid broken down does to your body. And then it said you die. And so I went on my own.
Oh my God.
I went on my own Google extravaganza where I somehow self-diagnosed that I was absolutely going to fall
like
over and die.
All do on WebMD.
And so I texted Blaze. By the way, Blaze and I have a very minimal friendship. It mainly consists of me texting him when I'm in a different state and asking him if I'm going to die. I'm like, hey, you're the only person I know with a medical background. I think I'm going to fall over. Can you help me? And then he texts Christine, and then Christine talks to me later and is like, you thought you were going to die again?
Yeah.
So I asked him if I needed to throw up the pills.
He was like, please, God, don't do
and
that.
And he was like, just don't take any more. Just throw away the rest. You're going to be okay. And I was.
And you were.
And I was fine.
You're here to tell the tale.
But anyway, if you taste something vinegary in your medicine, it means it's expired.
But you're okay.
I'm okay.
I mean, to you, PSA, you're not going to die.
I'm not going to die.
No, not you. The people taking the vinegary medicine.
You won't either.
I know you're not going to die. You're fine.
I made it.
Months ago.
Right. The Crypt Keeper and I are tight. So
we have very important jobs to get to.
Right.
Nothing can happen to us yet. Okay. So So she takes 2 Excedrin, her favorite form of medication. All our favorite forms, apparently.
Yeah. Yep.
She starts to get ready for work. And meanwhile, her 15-year-old daughter, Haley, is getting ready for school. Haley hops in the shower. And as she's showering, she hears a faint thump. She shakes it off. She's like a little bit weirded out, but she shakes it off. And when she gets out of the shower, she realizes that her mom's lights and water are still running. And she's like, that's weird. She's late for work. So she goes to check on her, and she finds her mom collapsed on the bathroom floor.
Oh, no.
Her eyes are still open.
Oh, no.
And she's like, has this like face of fear.
Oh,
still
no.
On her face. So Haley calls 911. The paramedics arrive. They find Susan unresponsive, but she has a faint pulse. Unfortunately, she died later that day.
Oh, my God.
I know. She never regained consciousness out of her coma. Her death was extremely sudden and tragic. She was only 40. She had 2 young daughters. She was a successful bank executive. She was, like, very popular in the community. She had also recently remarried and was, like, pretty happy. So during her... So this is, like, suddenly very tragic and very... just an abrupt...
Right.
...tragedy for her family. During Susan's autopsy, assistant medical examiner Janet Miller noticed something odd. She smelled the scent of bitter almonds.
Okay. Cyanide.
Cyanide. So
the one thing I've learned out of this podcast.
You're like, me, pick me.
never any other time, but right now.
Right now. Oh, boy. Yeah. So cyanide is, the scent is very peculiar. She described it as, or particular, she described it in forensic files as like, how you, when you're driving down the highway and you smell skunk, it's like right. That specific of a smell.
Got it.
And actually only 20-40% of the population, or sorry, between 20-40% of the population does not carry the gene needed to smell cyanide.
So you gotta be a super smeller.
Well, so 60-80% of people can smell it.
So you have to be a bad smeller to not notice it.
Sure.
I don't know.
There's a specific gene, and 20-40% of the population does not have it.
So they're the unlucky
ones.
So
it's, I guess, I mean, that's usually you don't need to really, like, encounter this. So it's just lucky that she happened to be a person who could smell it.
I am very nervous, though, that I'm one of the 20-40% of people who can't smell it.
Why?
I don't know. Like, what if one day
you're
fall
over? You're not a medical examiner.
I don't know. What if I need it, you know?
You could.
I could. What if you fell over and I needed to sniff your pills?
Just find some cyanide.
Okay.
Okay. So, at first, her suspicions were brushed aside by, like, she was the assistant medical examiner. So, everyone else was like, no, that's not what it is.
You stupid intern.
You stupid little girl.
Yep.
So, she was told her theory was far-fetched. But when they couldn't find a reasonable answer to Susan's death, Janet brought it up again and said, can we please just test it? They were like, fine. They tested Susan's blood. Lo and behold, it confirmed her suspicions that Susan Snow had died of cyanide poisoning. So suddenly, this is no longer like a medical mystery. It's a homicide, seemingly, anyway. So Susan's identical twin, she had an identical twin sister, Sarah, and they talked every single day. And she flew to town absolutely devastated about her sister's death. And she was staying at Susan's house during all the proceedings and everything. And she, on the day of the funeral, so she also tended to get frequent headaches. So on the day of the funeral, she had a pretty bad headache.
Oh, no.
So she went looking in the cabinet for headache medication.
Oh, no.
She saw the bottle of Excedrin, but she noticed something was off. The Excedrin was in capsules, not tablets. She said Sarah said she and her twin sister never took the gel capsules. And that's like something, I mean, they're like identical twins and they're
right.
Very close. And she's like, like openly don't take the gel capsules. We only take the tablets.
Weird. Okay.
So it's just very odd. And she's like, something's wrong about this. So she like tells the, I don't know, authorities, and they test the gel capsules. And lo and behold, 9 of them in the bottle had been laced with cyanide.
Oh, shit.
So thank God Sarah noticed that, or else she would have died too, yeah, basically. Or right. Odds are she would have. So now the family is like, holy shit, who put cyanide in her Excedrin?
Right.
And like I said, Sue had recently gotten remarried to a long-haul trucker named Paul Webking.
Oh, no.
And Sue had...
Marriage.
Marriage. Get not out. Again. Get out of town. Sue had recently discovered that Paul had had an affair with an ex-girlfriend on one of his cross-country trips, which had caused a lot of tension and, like, strain in their relationship. However, they got married anyway a few months later. And they'd been fighting a lot about it, and she was, like, very unhappy about it. And this was only months before her death. So... a lot of strain, a lot of suspicion is headed toward Paul. So when they question Paul, he admits it was his decision to switch from the Excedrin tablets to the gel capsules. He said, yeah, I talked her into trying the gel capsules. What of it? Yeah, I like them better instead of the tablets. And they were like, that's a little weird that you would
right.
just like pressure her into taking the gel capsules. I don't know.
Especially there are some people out there who genuinely like their gag reflex is so sensitive. They can't. Yeah. Handle it. Like my stepmom to this day cannot take pills. She literally has to like crush them,
yeah,
and like mix them in a drink or something. Like yeah. She can't, like, the swallowing aspect.
When I was
of
like
it.
15, my doctor made me start practicing with mini M&Ms because I still couldn't swallow
my
pills.
my mom when I was a little kid, she made me practice with corn and peas.
Yeah, and it's really awful. I hate swallowing pills to this day.
Oh, I'm fine with it.
I can't even. I get the liquid NyQuil because I can't take
absolutely not
gigantic pills.
I would rather be violently ill than have to take anything liquid.
It's so gross. M comes in and I'm like chugging like NyQuil.
Oh, it's so gross. And also Deirdre used to like love the taste of Pepto-Bismol. Like,
okay, ugh, that gross.
Just watching people drink any medicinal liquid
blech.
Is so vomitous to me, especially because I'm one of those unlucky people where I absolutely hate more than anything cherry and grape artificial flavors, and that was the flavor of every ugh. Goddamn liquid. So I remember one time there was finally like a liquid orange.
They make orange for kids, yeah.
Now, not when I was
they
little.
They did. My mom used to buy for me, and it
my
was
my mother
nasty.
Lied to my stupid face and said that
they had
didn't
orange
exist.
And cherry.
No, there was only orange and grape, or cherry and grape, and so if those were the options, I was like, I'd rather just projectile vomit all night. I don't care. If it was orange, fine.
Fucking gross. I hate orange flavor. That's what my mom bought me. What the hell?
I'm telling you, we had the wrong moms.
God,
we had to switch
we really
them around.
Did, huh?
I'd been like, Renata, let me just chug
Renata
orange
would have been
liquid.
Like, I'd rather you not chug anything because your immune system will figure it out yourself.
Well, because I was so bad at drinking liquid, that's why my mom made me start practicing when I was little about pills, because she was like, you're not going to get a hang of this liquid shit. So
I just puked up everything. So my mom was like, I don't even want to try. I couldn't.
The ironic part for me was when I got my tonsils out, they gave us like anti-nausea medicine, and ugh. Only that made me vomit.
Puke. Yeah.
So, blah. Anyway, if you're getting your tonsils out, good luck.
Anyway, M's life is really hard, but this person died.
It's
so
the hardest.
Let's go back to that. Okay, so he said, we switched from the tablets to the pills. And the reason they actually took the tablets is she said, Sarah said she and Susan had gotten freaked out by the Chicago Tylenol murders and were like, okay, let's only take the tablets from now on.
Got it. I love that I know that story.
Yeah.
Because didn't you cover it?
I did in Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think we released it as a live episode.
I feel like we're, I don't know.
I know. It's like,
I feel like
revisiting.
I'm in an actual classroom. Like, oh, because of our previous lesson, now this lesson makes sense.
You're like, call on me.
Yeah. Wow. I feel really smart today.
Yay. That's what I do.
Educate.
So anyway, he said he made the decision that the family would switch from the tablets to the gel capsules. He said he claimed he had taken two himself that morning, but he was fine. And they were like, that's weird. Cause most of them in that bottle
were cyanide.
Yeah. So they were like, that's odd. That
it's like
you
you're
happened.
Either very lucky or you knew which ones to avoid or
exactly.
you didn't take any.
Exactly. And the case file guy was like, either he was the luckiest man on the planet or he had either thrown them away or
right.
hadn't taken them. Right. So meanwhile, Bristol Myers, who made Excedrin, issued an immediate recall of all Excedrin capsules in the U.S. They urged consumers to throw away any they'd already purchased in case the contamination had happened at the source, like at the plant.
Mm-hmm.
They lost like millions of dollars. It was the same as the Tylenol when they just were like, nope, take everything off the shelves. And they lost.
Which, like as a big corporation, yeah. is just so wonderful.
Yeah, they still use that Tylenol one is like PR and PR lessons, as like, this is how you need to respond to.
Yeah. It's like, even if you're going to lose millions of dollars, yeah, like, you gotta be put people
save
first.
Save some fucking face.
Yeah.
And look, Tylenol and Excedrin are still fucking big. It's not like
exactly.
They
you're
ended
welcome.
Up going somewhere. So anyway, the FDA inspected the plant where the tainted pills had been packaged. They found no traces of cyanide, but investigators are still looking at Paul, the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And after Susan's murder, Paul seemed like weirdly jovial and upbeat. Like, he didn't seem super devastated. He was walking around in Hawaiian shirts all the time, which was odd.
By the way, was exactly what I did all of middle school.
Detail.
Every picture of me in middle school, I had a Hawaiian shirt on.
I know. But your wife had not just died.
Not. No. Not that I know of.
So appropriate maybe then. Not appropriate now. I don't think. Anyway. I mean,
I like how that's the signifier of, like,
I know. It was kind of weird because I was like,
well, the peak of happiness is wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, I guess. I was like, well, it doesn't matter. Who cares what he's wearing? But the daughters were like, yeah, it was very weird. He was like walking around in his Hawaiian shirts, and like, it, the way they described it seemed more like they knew him, and they were like, he's, the way he's acting is not
right.
Appropriate, essentially. He didn't seem to be very upset. So additionally, it was pretty odd that he claimed to have taken the two pills, like I said. And what's more, although everyone in the immediate family had the means to have killed Susan because they all had access to her medicine cabinet, including her own daughters, police could only come up with one person who had a motive, and that was Paul.
Mm.
So Paul, surprisingly, unsurprisingly, completely not surprisingly, was the beneficiary of Susan's life insurance policy, and Susan's will left everything to him. Paul said he would use the money to pay off some credit card bills, and the rest would go to Susan's daughters.
Got it.
But shortly after he received the money, the daughters were like, hello, we didn't get anything. And he was like, sorry, money's tight, and kept all of it for himself.
For all my Hawaiian shirts.
Yes. Yeah, for my wardrobe. Actually, he did buy a new wardrobe with
did
that
he?
Money. Yep.
And Hawaiian pants?
Hawaiian pants. He needed to match.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He purchased nice new clothes. He purchased a new car and started dating a new woman. And the daughters were like, one of them's 15. And they're like, we didn't get any of the our mother's like money. So
uh-oh.
Just not good look.
Uh-oh.
News coverage of Susan Snow's death is going crazy. The media is all over it. And keep in mind, like I said, the Chicago Tylenol murders had only happened 4 years earlier. So it was like still extremely recent and like fresh in everyone's mind. And those were and are still unsolved, the Chicago Tylenol murders. So people are freaking out. Police are thinking that, unlike the Chicago Tylenol murders, this is an isolated incident. It was probably Paul doing it to, you know, to his wife, thinking he could pretend like it happened at the store, at the
right.
facility, but it was actually him. So they're thinking this is an isolated incident. That is, until they receive a call. A very hysterical call. It's from a woman named Stella Nickel. She calls police absolutely frantic. She tells them that she saw the news about Susan, and she wants to report that her husband, Bruce Nickel, had died under mysterious circumstances after having taken some Excedrin capsules only a week before Susan's death.
Mm.
So police visit Stella's home to pick up the bottle of Excedrin that Bruce had been using. She gave them the two bottles that they had in the home and asked them to test both. And she insisted that Bruce's case be reopened so that his blood could be examined for cyanide poisoning. And she was right. Bruce had also died of cyanide poisoning, just like
wow.
Susan. The pills in the bottles were also laced with cyanide, and they had come from the same store.
Got it.
So they x-rayed all the bottles on store shelves, like that they had taken off store shelves in the area, and they found two more bottles laced with cyanide. So thankfully those had not been purchased yet, so they were able to get rid of those. And that proved that there's something bigger going on. It wasn't just the one bottle. This is potentially a serial killer. And it could still be Paul, but whoever it was attacking more than one person.
Got it.
So the capsules were sent to the FBI for analysis, and each capsule was found to contain 700 milligrams of cyanide, which is 4 times the lethal dose. So if you're taking two, that's basically 8 times the lethal dose in one.
Jeez.
One dose of cyanide. It's really awful to die that way, too. It basically, like, suffocates you. So you, they said, like, you basically gasp for, I mean, you're unconscious, but you're, like, trying to gasp for air, and it shuts down. It's
Oh my God.
It's really
bad.
Oh my
God, oh my God.
So it's just really not a good way to go. So in addition to the cyanide in the pills, they noticed another weird substance. They noticed mysterious flecks of like green crystals.
Hmm.
And they were like, what the Sugar? Hell is that? Well, so they didn't know. So they sent it to a lab to test it. And the test showed that the substance was some sort of an algicide, which was used in home aquariums to kill algae.
Oh, so like, it sounds like a rat poison, but for fish. Or like for...
No, it's not going to kill your home aquarium fish.
Oh. It kills just the algae.
I'm tired of these fish. I'm just going to murder them all. And
it kills just the algae.
It's an algicide. Yes.
Okay. So it's like
algae.
I see. I was like, are you putting that in water with fish?
Oh, God. No.
Sorry. I also don't know anything about fish to add on to my lack of.
Well, you don't really murder your pet fish is part of the thing.
I also don't own fish. So
me neither. But I'm pretty sure you don't murder them with rat poison, with fish poison.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
But yeah, so it's called an algicide and it's used to kill algae. It's called,
so I keep rocks squeaky clean,
right? So like to clean the glass and stuff. The brand name is called Algae Destroyer. So you basically, like, it's tablets, you put them in water and it, like,
got it,
eliminates algae on your,
but also really strong tank. Chemicals, like probably really strong chemicals, I would imagine algicide is.
I don't think no? It's particularly strong chemicals. It's just like,
it just sounds really foreign to me, so I'm scared of it. I think happening.
It just, I mean, yeah, you'll see. It's just like a plant.
Not as big of a thing as I'm imagining it.
Probably.
Okay.
But it's called Algae Destroyer, and they were like, that's so weird. Why would this be in the pills with the cyanide? Like, it's not poisonous.
He was
like,
trying to give them to his fish. He was trying to kill him.
to kill his fish?
I don't know.
So he's like, here, maybe I'll put some algae in here.
That'll fix it. That'll fix
it. What are you talking about? So they were like, well, maybe... They were like, that's so weird. Why would there be algae, flecks of, like, Algae Destroyer sure. with the pills? Anyway. So, Algae Destroyer. So this was super puzzling to authorities. One of the detectives back in Seattle then was like, wait, hang on a minute, guys. I remember something weird. When he had visited Stella Nickel to pick up the Excedrin bottles that had killed her husband, he had noticed an elaborate aquarium prominently displayed in her living room.
Oh, okay.
And she lived in, I believe she lived in a trailer home. And so the aquarium was like this huge prominent part of her home.
Got
it was
it.
Like just, and her friend said she aspired to own her own fish store. Like she was kind of obsessed with her fish tanks. And so they were like, that's a weird coincidence. We're going to look into it. So they visited 57 different fish and pet stores near Stella's home with a montage of photos. One of them was Stella. So they just kind of said, like, do you recognize anyone in this lineup? One fish store owner named Tom Noonan recognized Stella's picture and said, she's a customer here. He confirmed that he had recently sold her a little something called Algae Destroyer.
Mm.
And he remembered it because he doesn't usually carry it in the store, but she had insisted that he order it until okay. he was finally like, fine, I'll order it for you. I'll special order it for you, basically. Right. He said he doesn't like stocking the product because it had to be ground up before use. And he said it's just a pain to use. Like, there's other ones that you can just drop in the water. This one needs to be ground up. And so he's like, it's a pain. I don't usually sell it. But she insisted that she wanted it. So the focus then shifted from Paul. And so Paul had actually just recently offered to take a lie detector test. He passed with flying colors. There's nothing they can hold him on. So to the shock of Susan's family, Paul is let go as a suspect. And they turn their attention to Stella. So they're like, well, if she had killed her husband and gotten away with it, why the hell did she call the police? Right? To say, like, oh.
I guess to make herself look like a, like, definitely not the,
but so like
the it, suspect.
But it was weird because she had already gotten away with it. Yeah. So they were like, why on God's green earth would she call?
I feel like if I were someone that maybe was a suspect, I would, like, overcompensate and be like, oh, and here's another way it wasn't me, and here's another way it wasn't me. So maybe, yeah. I don't know.
Well, and it was also weeks later, so it was, like, weird, because it was like, there's no... But I'll tell you. I mean, I'll tell you why.
I mean, I'm going to figure it out by the end of the story.
I'll tell you why. So they were like, why on earth would she call and involve herself in the case if she'd already gotten away with it and murdered her husband? Well, it turns out Bruce's life insurance policy would grant her $100,000 extra if his death was ruled accidental. And it had been ruled natural causes, death by natural causes.
Got it.
So she was like, well, shit.
She's like, well, I need my money.
Well, hey, he was poisoned too. Yeah, exactly. So it turns out the Nickels were in pretty serious financial trouble. They had just received a final delinquency notice on their mortgage and some other loans. And investigators found a letter Stella had written to her creditors only 5 days before Bruce's death that read, quote, Dear sirs, I know that I am tremendously overdue with my payments. There is a good reason for it. I am having marital problems, but they are about solved. Bruce is no longer involved.
Oh.
And then she's like, I'm going to start paying you next week. And then he died a few days later.
Oh.
So, again, all circumstantial, but just not looking good for Stella. So handwriting experts also noticed that Bruce Nichols' own signature on his life insurance policies did not match his handwriting. It matched Stella's.
Got it.
Forged.
Of course.
The FBI interviewed Stella's daughter, Cynthia, and she broke down and told them she was pretty sure her mom had killed her stepdad, Bruce. She told investigators that Stella had often talked about Bruce dying and had wished aloud during phone calls together that she could just get rid of him somehow.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, she was not happy in their marriage. And when Stella and Bruce had first gotten together, they were like these party animals. They went out every night. They drank constantly. But at a certain point, Bruce's drinking got out of control. And after a pretty serious bender, he went to rehab. And after that, he basically stayed away from alcohol the rest of his life. He never touched a drink again.
Got it.
And Cynthia told investigators that Stella had grown bored of the new Bruce.
Oh.
He didn't want to go out and party with her anymore. She wanted to go drink and hang out with people, but he was committed to his sobriety, and so she grew bored of their marriage and wished she could get rid of him, which is just like, what
awful.
Actual fuck.
Just awful.
So Cynthia told police to check her mom's library card. So they did. Turns out Stella had been checking out books about poison.
Well.
Lots and lots of books.
Okay.
One of the books was called Human Poisonings from Native and Cultivated Plants and Deadly Harvest. That's the most 80s book title I ever heard.
I wonder what it would be like to be an author and write a book like that and right? know that maybe a murderer is going to try to read this.
Or those articles, those blogs online that are like, this is how you build a bomb. And I'm like, exactly. Why are you putting that on the internet?
It's like, you realize not every great person is going to be your demographic and reading that article.
But I mean, they put it out there for like actual instruction on how, but like there's stuff about how to build a noose. There's stuff about how to commit suicide. Like there's all sorts of crazy instructional blogs on the internet that are like,
I wonder
not
how
intended
you
for good reason. I don't think. I mean,
it can't be.
It can't be.
Anyway.
Anyway, that's our take, our hot take.
Fiction and fact from our almanac.
Stupid.
Is this a real $100 bill?
It's a 100 euro bill.
Oh. Okay.
It's more than a $100 bill.
Well, I don't know why it's just bent up in that box.
Because my grandmother mailed it to me as a wedding gift, and I was like, I can't use this in America. So then I'm like, I'll just save it for my trip to Austria.
You should bring it the next time we were at... Oh, well, yeah. I was going to say, when we were at an airport, you should have gotten the currency changed.
They have terrible currency exchange rates at the airport.
Okay.
I mean, I've been meaning to go to the bank, but I'll just do it at... I'll take it to Germany.
Well, I found 100 for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you like that it's just kind of floating around? Oh my god.
It's in the middle of your what I imagine is your junk drawer.
Yeah, basically.
Cool.
Surprise.
That's a fun thing to find.
I just have $100 bills floating around.
It must be crazy to be a rich crypt keeper. It's so funny.
Welcome to my crypt. There's just dollar bills everywhere.
MTV Crips.
MTV Crips! Stop it.
I won't.
Eva, if that's not the title, the second half of this episode, you're fired. Just kidding. I love you. Don't leave me.
But also, let's produce that show later.
But also, TM, 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 TM. Do not fucking steal that anybody.
Every, at all.
MTV Crips. That's so good. Okay. Oh, that's so good. Okay. Anyway, so there's this book about poison.
Yes.
That Stella is checking out. It has different varieties of poisons. When they examine the section on cyanide, her fucking dumbass fingerprints are all over the pages. Like, there's literally a picture on Forensic Files where they, like, circle all the fingerprints and they're just, like, all
just
over
scattered.
It. Like, as if she's, like, just...
Like, she's playing piano or something.
Yeah, yeah. So they're like, Jesus Christ. Like, she literally put fingerprints all over the cyanide. It's like a Scooby-Doo episode.
Right,
like, it's
right,
just very clear. So they looked at a number of other books she had checked out. Same thing. Every chapter on cyanide had her dumb fingerprints all over it. They're like, you're not doing a very good job here. So then they went to her house again. They examined the bowl. She had like a little bowl that she ground the cyanide in. They discovered she had used it to ground up her algae destroyer earlier that day, but hadn't washed it. And so that's how when she ground up the cyanide and put it in the pills, the little green flecks got into it with the cyanide.
On Earth.
If that makes sense. So that's actually what led them to her, which is pretty wild. The whole pet store thing. It's just crazy. So anyway, they finally had a case that wasn't fully circumstantial. They had fingerprints. They had her bowl with the algae stuff. So they arrested her for the murder of her husband, Bruce. And then they were like, but what about Susan? Like, what did Susan's murder have anything to do with
this?
So like I said, the coroner had ruled that Bruce, Stella's husband, had died of natural causes. So Stella collected $76,000 from Bruce's life insurance policy. But then she got a little greedy, and there was an extra $100,000 that she would get if her husband's death had
was
been ruled
accidental.
An accident. So she needed to come up with some sort of excuse to have her husband's body reexamined. So she decided to poison someone else to create the impression that a cyanide murderer was on the loose.
So purely it was just to get an
selfish
extra...
selfish reasons.
You killed another person for only $100,000 extra dollars?
Mother. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, she didn't know who it would be, but yeah, ended up being this poor 40-year-old mother of two. It's terrible. So,
like, just as collateral damage.
Right, exactly. And it didn't even work for her.
Jeez.
Dumbass. And she had already gotten away with killing her husband and got $76,000. So, like, she had gotten what she wanted, but then she was like, well, I want the other $100,000.
Wow.
So she killed someone else. And she knew it would kill someone else. So she had put several bottles on the shelves to, like, poison people.
Right.
Of stores near her home. And when Susan's murder was broadcast in the media, she finally had her excuse to call and say, please reopen my husband's case. Please check his blood. I bet he was murdered too. And they were like, holy shit, he was. By you. So after a 4-week trial, during which her own daughter, Cynthia, testified against her, Stella Nickel was convicted of 2 counts of murder and was sentenced to 2 terms of 90 years in prison.
Wow.
And 3 10-year terms on the product tampering with the pills.
Sure.
So she was actually the first person brought to trial and the first convicted under the federal product tampering laws that had been instituted after the Chicago Tylenol murders.
Wow.
Which is kind of wild that it was only 4 years later that, like, someone was already convicted of...
Yeah, it makes you think what's happening every four
I
years.
Know, I'm like, that was really recent. Like, they had just made that fucking rule. Oh my God. Anyway, it's scary. Yeah. So she was the first person to basically be charged with, like, a felony for tampering with medication. As of April 2019, Stella Nickel is 76 years old, so, like, basically right now, and she is housed at a female-only minimum security prison in Dublin, California. Her release date is listed as July 10th, 2040, so unless there's some magical life potion that we all get, she probably won't make it out of there alive.
Nope.
And there are no parole hearing dates provided, so it doesn't look like she is going anywhere.
Wow.
And that is the story of the death of Susan Snow and Bruce Nickel.
Wow.
It's a follow. If you haven't listened to Chicago, if you don't listen to the live shows, you missed the Chicago Tylenol.
Which was a good one.
That was one of my favorites.
That was a good story. I mean, fucked up, but good.
Fascinating because it's still unsolved.
Mm.
Anyway, so that's that on that.
Yeah, that on that. Thank you guys for having us in your little ears.
I was going to say in your living room, but you're
probably, or your speakers.
Probably in your car.
If you're at work.
Thanks for bringing me on the highway with you.
Yeah. Oh, life is a highway.
Really. Don't even do it. I want to ride it all night long.
You did it. You said don't do it, and then you did it.
I know, but I didn't want you to sing. That's what I didn't want.
Behind these hazel eyes. So, if you want to listen to more of us, I don't know why.
A whole new world. I was just like, what else could we have sung about?
Oh my goodness, I'm lost. I'm lost. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you're listening these days. If you want to follow us on social media, you can find our Instagram, Twitter, ATWWD podcast.
Oh, yeah. We're releasing our new show soon. So keep an eye out.
Yep.
Because that one we're hoping will sell out pretty quickly.
And that does release on June 10th. So,
yeah.
Please.
Coming up.
Listen to.
Also, this week is our birthday and we're going to be posting fun stuff. So you can follow our personals too if you want.
VM Schultz.
And X-Teen Schieffer. We're on there. I'm excited.
That's that on that. I guess we have a website, and that's where we drink.com, where you can find just about anything you need.
Yep.
You can also email us, and that's where we drink at gmail.com if you want to submit your personal true crime paranormal stories for a listeners episode that we put out
June
the first of every month.
Came out yesterday.
Yay.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
I guess that's it.
That's it, guys. Thanks for listening.
And
that's
why
we
drink.
Yay.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.